Well, good afternoon and happy Sabbath, brethren. It's certainly nice to see everyone who is here in person, and we certainly appreciate everyone tuning on the webcast. It is still a wonderful thing that we can continue to meet in peace and safety, even despite some of the challenges that we're going through in this country today. Well, brethren, have you ever considered how you establish your beliefs? Have you ever considered how you form your opinions? Did you realize that your beliefs are very valuable currency to certain elements in our society? And when I say currency, I mean things like money, things like power. It's very important to certain elements in our society what you believe and what you think. The most obvious example of this that I'm sure everyone comes to mind immediately is the news media and politics, right? You know, brethren, let's just recognize that the next presidential election is just a little over 3 months from now. So from now until then, I'm sure we are going to continue to be bombarded by headlines, 10-second sound bites, news articles, all trying to influence us to believe something and to shape our opinion. Now, many times, if not most of the time, I would submit that important information is left out of these stories. And if they did give you all the information, then it might change your opinion significantly. But they only give you part of the truth. They don't necessarily have to lie to you. They just give you a little bit of the truth. And depending on what they give you and what they withhold from you, it can definitely influence and shape our opinions. So, brethren, how do we protect ourselves from this? How do we protect ourselves from those who would deceive us and divide us? Brethren, the answer is to act like a Berean. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's discuss how acting like a Berean can help protect us from being deceived, because we don't want the church pulled apart by this world. I'm sure Satan would like nothing better than to pull this church apart along political lines and other lines and get us all fighting with ourselves and make us less effective to do the job that God has given us to do as the church. So let's figure out how do we act like a Berean? Well, first let's remind ourselves what a Berean is. And what do they act like, as opposed to what we're just going to lump everyone in this other category and call them the non-Bereans versus the Bereans. In order to do this, let's all turn in our Bibles, if you have them available, to Acts chapter 17. And this is a very famous passage that I'm sure we've all read before. Acts 17, it's slightly long. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. But I want to read all of this so that we can get a full picture of what the non-Bereans acted like, and then what the Bereans acted like, and what we can learn from the contrast between the two. So Acts chapter 17, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded. And a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them," meaning Paul and Silas, "they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus.' And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." So that's the passage. So, brethren, what can we draw out of this passage of Scripture? What is it telling us, and how can we see what the difference is between the non-Bereans and the Bereans and how they acted? Because clearly we want to act like the Berean. Well, the non-Berean behavior, just point a couple things out, It says, those who were not persuaded became envious. So that was the first thing that happened. They were envious of Paul and Silas. Now, why were they envious? What does it say? It says, well, you know, these people were believing what Paul and Silas had to say, and they weren't listening to the synagogue leaders anymore. They were listening to Paul and Silas, so they became envious of that. So their influence, their power was threatened by these outsiders. You know, they just showed up, and who are these people? But this envy led to destructive and violent behavior. It led to accusations that the believers in Jesus as the Messiah were acting against the government, engaging in criminal behavior. But what you don't see is any mention of these folks trying to engage Paul and Silas in the subject matter. They can't refute the evidence. They can't refute their arguments. At least we don't see any evidence that they even tried to do that. It just says they weren't persuaded. And so what did they want to do with Paul and Silas? They wanted to eliminate them. Okay, they weren't interested in talking with them, finding a peaceful solution. They just wanted to get rid of them because they were envious. And I think we see that type of behavior in this world all the time. We don't want to be like that. In contrast, that we want to be like the Bereans. So what does it say about the Bereans here, brethren? Well, the first thing that pops out is it says the Bereans were more fair-minded than the Thessalonians, or we'll just call them the non-Bereans, because I'm sure some of the people in Thessalonica were nice. But they were more fair-minded than the non-Bereans. They were reasonable. A Berean was someone who was willing to hear someone out before they took their opinion or took their position on what they, you know, what they were listening to. The Bereans valued the truth. They were seeking the truth, and they wanted to get all the facts before they made their decision about what they believed and what they didn't. It says they searched the scriptures to find out whether these things were so. So a Berean is willing to change their mind when they're shown solid evidence and logic to support a belief. And the Berean also doesn't just rely on others to tell them what to believe. They investigate for themselves, and they are responsible for their own beliefs and their opinions. This is how we want to be, brethren. This is the model behavior that we should try to emulate. So clearly, brethren, the Bereans valued the scriptures. They were eager to learn. We know that because it says they received the word with all readiness. But how did they get this way? What other biblical principles of wisdom might they have internalized that helped them to be more fair-minded? Well, brethren, today I'd like to give you three brief big biblical principles that will help us become more like a Berean, help us to be more fair-minded about things. So when we get stuff in from the news media and various other sources, we know how to deal with it, and we know how to prevent deception or at least mitigate against it. So I'm not going to have everyone turn to all these, but I do want to read you some scriptures. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." So you can't just have one source and only go to one source and have an opinion or belief just based on that. In a multitude of counselors there is safety. You need multiple sources. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15 also confirms this. It says, "One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established." So we need multiple sources that confirm and corroborate each other before you take a hard stance on anything. So that's point number one. A Berean does their research. So ensure that you have consulted multiple sources. That could be people, that could be news outlets, that could be Bible verses, multiple books of the Bible. You know, that's a multitude of witnesses. That's two or three witnesses. Before you decide that this is what I'm going to believe, or this is my opinion on this, that, or the other thing, whatever it may be. Also, important caveat here, brethren, I want to recognize and admit that many times it's not possible for us to get all the facts on something. It's just not possible. We don't have access to all the facts. Also, we're all limited by time and energy, and I don't think it's reasonable to I'm going to withhold my beliefs or my opinions until I make an exhaustive research of every single subject and issue in my life. But for the important things in life, we should do our due diligence. We should make a reasonable effort to go ahead and research as much as we could, as possible before we come down with a hard opinion. And for other less important issues, brethren, I think we just need to be ready to admit that we don't have enough information to have a strong opinion either way. And I think that's the most honest thing to do. So what other principles might the Bereans have internalized to be this way? Another one is found in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Now, I like the way that the NRSV version translates this. It says, iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens the wits of another. You know, sometimes we just need to talk it through with somebody. We need to think it through, talk it through, bounce ideas off other people to make sure that we're not muddled in our thinking, but that we're sharp, that we're clear, and that we're thinking about this rationally and logically. So that's point number two, brethren. A Berean thinks and talks things through with others before they form their opinion and take a hard stance on something. Because you might have missed an important piece of information that this person might be able to give you. You might have started your reasoning from a wrong assumption. And just, you know, if you start from a wrong assumption, you're only going to go, it's going to be really hard to get to the correct resolution of that. So you might have had an incorrect assumption. So talk with others and examine what you're hearing. Is it rational? Is it logical? Is it consistent? And is it biblically supported? Now, brethren, we should all be seeking and desiring to grow in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by definition, brethren, when we grow, it means that we are not yet fully formed. We are not yet complete because we have to grow. There's something we don't quite have yet, something we haven't developed necessarily, but we're trying to grow. And knowing this, brethren, I think helps us to remain humble, helps us to remember that we don't have it all figured out, and we need to remain humble because Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We don't want to be destroyed. We don't want to fall. So let's be humble. And that's my third point. A Berean is humble. Remember to have that humble spirit. Don't let your emotions get so whipped up that you are in a place where you start looking down on someone and saying, I can't believe that they think that way. I can't believe that that's their opinion. What's wrong with them? Okay, we don't want to be like that. And the truth is they're just in a different part of their journey of life. And I'm sure we'd all appreciate it is when we find out that we might have been wrong in the past, that people back in that time treated us with grace and they treated us nicely with patience because we were mistaken at that point in time. So we should act that same way to others. Everyone has their own problems, their own issues, their own blind spots, and we need to recognize that. And it could help us all remain humble. So that's that third point. So brethren, in closing, let's remember to always stay connected to the ultimate source of knowledge, truth, and wisdom, which is Jesus Christ and God the Father. And I will ask you to turn with me to John chapter 15 for our closing scripture. John chapter 15, we'll read verses 1 through 4. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So taking that analogy of a plant, if we're the branch, we need to grow, and we might grow in certain directions, that at some point the vine dresser comes and he prunes off, he cuts off. He says, nope, that's not exactly right. I need you to grow in this direction. So we have to grow and we have to develop. But we have to stay close to God. Prayer and Bible study, fasting, all those tools that we have are so important to maintain that closeness with God and with Jesus Christ. It says, abide, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And that is the most important principle that we must recognize, brethren. We have to stay connected to God and he will lead us in the path we should go. Brethren, if we don't act like a Berean, we are in danger of getting deceived. We are in danger of being destroyed by this world and the anti-God forces that direct it. So let's remember to act like a Berean. Let's do our research. Let's think and talk things through with others. And let's remain humble. Most importantly, brethren, let's stay connected with God. Acknowledge him in all you do, and he will direct your steps.